For our second lesson of Scripture today, let's share together in the Gospel of Luke. We'll begin in chapter 16 with verse 19 and following. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and to cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in a like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen or be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. We have begun our Bible studies on Wednesday evening, and this past Wednesday we did take a look together at the Gospel of Luke, the writer who shared our writing today. And I had more than one person tell me after our study this past week, "You know, we really had a good study together. We grew together. We learned from each other." And the particular study that we're in right now, if you've not had the opportunity to visit with, we are cautiously going through a different book of the Bible every week. So rather than diving deep down with great depth into the Scripture, we're taking a canvas of Scripture as a whole and trying to increase our breadth of Scripture to learn maybe what was inspiring that writer. What was the world behind the scenes, the world of the text and behind the text that inspired that writer? And many of us are learning quickly that what we see in Scripture, those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, we see some of their personhood, some of their experiences in what they write. You know, that's so much of how we approach the world and how we respond to life with faith. Our experiences, the lens through which we see the world, we often call our paradigm, impacts how we react to the world around us. In this writing today, there are challenges for us as the hearers to maybe listen to this passage of Scripture and get different messages. Certainly one thing that we hear from the writer Luke would be the message of heaven and hell, heeding the warning to embrace that call of faith for Christ as our Savior. Then again, another message that we are maybe called to focus on is the challenge for us to embrace the call to care for the poor, the needy, in our community and in our world. But you know, I think there's even another subtle message that it's easy for us to overlook in the midst of these two challenging questions that Luke raises for us. And that is, what do we do with Scripture itself? Will we embrace together the challenge and the call from Almighty God to make Scripture an important part of our journey of life daily and fervently as we strive to do what we have sung today in our anthem, to teach us your way, O Lord, and then have us to walk in your ways to your glory? You know, Luke, the writer here, as he talks about the challenges of caring for the poor and the call of God upon our life, I read one interpretation this week in my preparation. It said, you know, if we really, as preachers of the gospel, preached about caring for the poor and preached about giving of ourselves through our time, talents, and wealth, if we preached about that as often as the Bible talks about it, we'd be accused of talking about money too much in the church. They'd get sick of hearing it. But one thing that Luke may have embraced in his culture, there may have been that tension between the rich and the poor. Or Luke, as we learned on Wednesday night, being a physician, was likely a person of means. So maybe he wanted to keep that challenge before him. What can I do? What can we as a community do? Those of us who have been blessed, what can we do to bless the world around us? But yes, as I said, more than anything else, to me this passage spoke to this week about how do we embrace the call to make Scripture a central part of our life. Heeding the warning, the instruction, the guide that God gives us to face the challenges that are before us every day. You know, Dr. Howell said right as we were coming out to this morning, after we shared in our prayer, he said, you know, this is a hard world, isn't it? We need Jesus. We need Him in our lives. And our communities need to hear and see and experience the love of the Lord. Just yesterday I was driving with Manya and the boys. We were taking a little trip, and Manya recently invested in a radar detector. You know it? And I don't know about y'all, but you can imagine what inspired her to make that investment, right? She was called on the carpet in one of the year's finest serving our state. And she decided, I think I need to spend a little extra money and make sure this doesn't happen again. So when I'm threatened, I do what? I hear the warning. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I was riding with her yesterday, and I kept hearing that warning. And I'd heard about enough of it. And you know what I did? I reached over and unplugged it. Now, isn't that crazy? That instrument that they call radar detectors, we used to call them fuzz busters when I was growing up. But that instrument, called a radar detector, if we unplug it, we're not allowing it to do what it was made to do. Why would we invest in such an instrument if we're not going to listen and what else? Heed its advice or warning on our journey. Now that makes sense practically, doesn't it? But wouldn't the same also speak to us on our spiritual journey? On our life of faith, certainly as parents trying to guide our children in this troubling world, or as children trying to serve our parents, or as co-workers and employees and teachers and educators and students, as we strive to live as people of faith in this hard world, shouldn't we listen to the guidance, the instruction, the warnings that God's Word gives us to deal with all the challenges we face? It would be as senseless when we have God's Word before us as unplugging the very instrument that is made to guide us, to alert us of the challenges all around. Shouldn't we do that with God's Holy Word? That's what it was made to do, to guide us in our life. Scripture tells us here, In 2 Timothy, listen what Paul, the apostle writer, says to us about Scripture. He says in chapter 3, and we need to get behind the text a little bit here with Paul too. Paul is writing to one of his dearest friends. Did you know that? Not only that, he calls Timothy a son in the faith, one he has taught, one he has ministered to. And this, as Paul is just about to end his ministry, friends, this is the last letter that he writes right before his death in Rome. Paul says this to Timothy, as if one of the most important gifts I can give to you, Timothy, before I leave, here in chapter 3, verse 14, but as for you, speaking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, saying it wasn't so much from me, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able, here we go, that are able to instruct you in the ways of salvation and faith in Christ Jesus. And then he says these words that many of us have grown familiar to know. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. Wow, Paul is saying a mouthful. He's saying Scripture is from God, and it is for us to guide us, to correct us, and to strengthen us for the good works, for the journey of life. Friends, that's a gift. God has given us an instruction manual. Isn't that wonderful to know? You know, I shared recently that we have become a cat family. Did I share that with some of you? And you know, that's quite a stretch, because as Risa will tell you, she knows that the Hills are much like the Elliots. We are dog people. We're not cat people by trade. We've never been cat people. So how did it come to pass that we became cat people? You know how it happened? The cat adopted us. Isn't that the way it goes so often? She showed up on our doorstep saying, "Help me." And what are you going to do when you hear the cry? You respond, correct? But you know what I found out very quickly is that not being a cat person, I didn't know how to take care of a cat. Manya didn't know how to take care of a cat. You know what? We started doing some research and we found out this. This is the first advice that we got when we got on our favorite apparatus called Google. It told us this. The one most well equipped to take care of a kitten is a mama cat. Well, duh. We didn't have a mama cat handy. And we didn't find a mama cat willing to take on our orphan. So we had to look a little deeper. You know what our next step of action was? Guess what we did? We called in professionals. Professionals. Those who've gone the journey before us as cat people. We called Dr. Norris Howell and Lynn. We called Sharon Goolsby. We incorporated the wisdom of those who are cat people to learn from them. That's what we do, right? Practically in life, we learn from those who know. Well, friends, isn't that the essence of what Paul is saying to us today in that writing? And certainly the gospel writer Luke, when he challenges us to listen to all that is taught in the law and the prophets, he's saying to you, the one most well equipped to teach is just like the one most well equipped to raise a kitten. It's the one who made it. The one who made it, the mama cat. She knows best. And friends, we as creations of an almighty, holy God who wants for us our best life, our hope for living that best life is what? Like a kitten entrusting the one who made it, we, as people of God, as children of God, should listen and trust His guidance for our life. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we're weak and we're young and we're infantile, even much like a baby kitten, and we don't even feel like we can hear or talk from God. Then we too, friends, can do like I did on the kitten. We can go to the professionals. You see, God has taught people through the histories of the church. He's inspired those saints who've gone before us. He's given them those teachings of life, and they've been written down for us. The professionals of our faith have given us a rule book. That's what Holy Scripture is. It's our guide. It's those people, those saints of the faith like Doc Howell and Sharon who know about raising cats. These are the professionals that know about living the life of faith. Let's learn from them. Let's hear from Paul. Let's dive into God's holy word and let's follow the instruction book so that we may live the best life we have that glorifies our Lord above and gives us the good that we need as His children. We praise the Lord for this gift of Scripture in our life. But you know, as the writer here today in Luke, as he challenges us with this troubling text where the rich man is suffering and he's looking for restoration. He's trying to find hope as he's dwelling in hell, as he cries out to Abraham, and Abraham's advice to him is this, as he cares finally for once in his life for someone beside himself. He says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to speak to my brothers. Send someone from the dead to minister to them, to open their ears to the words of life. And these are the words of advice that Abraham gives. He says they have the law and the prophet. They have Holy Scripture. It is in the words of Paul that we read, the guide for us to receive salvation forever and hope in the here and now. May we go to God's word. May we embrace the law and the prophet. You know, it's easy for us to gang up on the Pharisees that we hear in our text today and say, oh, the Pharisees just got it wrong, right? They just wanted to hear in the scripture what they wanted to hear. Jesus is straightening them out, right? Jesus is telling them that they should not turn a blind eye to the poor. They should hear scripture in its entirety. But I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I fail to listen to scripture in all of its context. Sometimes I, like the Pharisees, want to hear scripture say what I want it to hear. I read recently where someone said, you know, people don't listen to scripture because of its contradictions. They said people don't lose hope in scripture because there are contradictions in scripture, but rather because scripture contradicts with themselves. That's what I do sometimes. Wow. You know, some of you have probably heard the story of the young preacher that went to a new church in Kentucky. And the very first sermon he preached was on drinking. Don't abuse alcohol. After the sermon, one of the elders came up to him and said, preacher, you know, hey, there's a lot of folks that make their living in raising corn whiskey around here. You might not be so hard on that drinking. The next Sunday, he changed it up a little bit and he preached on the wiles of smoking and tobacco use. Another elder came up to him and said, preacher, you know, a lot of our folks here raise tobacco. You probably don't need to preach on that. So he listened to the advice again. And then the next Sunday, he stood in the pulpit and he said, I preached on drinking last time. That wasn't well received. I preached on smoking the next time. That hit too close at home. Today, I'm going to preach on communism. Surely there's not one of them within 3,000 miles of here. So often, we find scripture troubling and we hear only what we want to hear. You know, that was the challenge for the Pharisees today. You see, they weren't just blind. The Pharisees were reading scripture when they said we shouldn't have to care for the poor. In Deuteronomy 28, here's what the writer said. This is how the Pharisees guided their life. He says, if you'll only obey the Lord your God and be diligent in your observance of all His commands, the Lord will set you high above all the nations. And here's the promise that the writer of Deuteronomy says, if you'll walk in God's ways, then you, dear friends and people of faith, will be blessed. He said, your city will be blessed, your fields will be blessed, and the fruit of your wombs will be blessed, and your baskets will be blessed. He's saying here, the writer, that when we walk in the ways of God, there are blessings. So the Pharisees, misinterpreting, took it a step further and said, well, if that's the case, if God blesses us when we walk in His ways, then these who aren't blessed, the poor, these who aren't blessed, the barren women, these who aren't blessed, those who are facing trials, then they must not be walking in the ways of God. So they wrote them off. They condemned them. They judged them as unclean outcasts before God. And you see, this is where Jesus steps onto the scene with the Pharisees and says, you're just pulling out portions of Scripture. Let's listen to all that Moses and the prophets say. And Jesus reminds them that Moses also said this in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 15, Moses said this, if there is anyone in need, if there is anyone in your town or community that is poor and is hurting, then you should not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. You should rather open your hand and willingly lend and care for those with the name and love of the Lord. See, Jesus said, Moses said that. And as for the prophet, here's what the prophet said. The prophet said in Isaiah 58, is not this the fast I choose, that you loose the bonds of injustice? That you care for the homeless poor, welcome them into your home. When you see those who are naked, cover them and do not hide yourself from the people in need. See, Jesus challenges us. As the church, as people of faith, to hear the whole guidance of Moses and the prophets. And this, my dear friends, is what happens when we do. You know what happens? God, through His grace, has the power and the glory to transform us. How does He transform us? Well, it kind of ends like I told you earlier, that we, the hills, are not cat people, right? We're not cat people. We just did what we felt like we had to do. We found a kitten in need and we served, but guess what's happened in the process? I admit it. We've been transformed. We're now cat people. He came to us in need, and we did what we felt like we were supposed to do. And in the process, we ended up receiving more than we gave. Isn't that the way it is with God? We feel like we need to read His Word just because that's what we're supposed to do. But the more we dive into it, the more we trust God's holy wisdom, the more we yield to His instruction for our life, we, like transformed cat people, find that we receive much more in God's Word than we could have ever imagined and found on our own. Grow in His grace, live in His love.